Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to another edition of the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Federal agencies have sought to identify new and smarter ways to do business and move toward a government that is citizen-centered and results-oriented. To be successful in this area, federal agencies require support and assistance, and the U.S. General Services Administration works to provide that support, staking a leadership role in reducing wasteful government spending, encouraging the adoption of innovative solutions, and coordinating major government-wide management improvement initiatives. With us today to discuss his efforts in this area is our very special guest, Stan Kaczmarzyk, Acting Associate Administrator for the Office of Government-Wide Policy at the U.S. General Services Administration. Good morning, Stan.
Good morning, Albert. Thank you for inviting me.
Also joining us today is Paul Cayatta, partner in IBM's Public Sector General Government Practice. Paul, welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks, Al. Good morning, Stan.
Good morning.
Stan, before we get started, could you set some context by providing our listeners with an overview of the history and the mission of the U.S. General Services Administration, or GSA? Tell us when it was created and what its mission is today.
Sure. GSA was created in 1949. Congress passed the Federal Property and Administrative Services Act, which was signed into law by President Truman, and it basically consolidated all the administrative service type functions that were being done in various agencies across the government into GSA so that we could consolidate, centralize, and achieve efficiencies and lower costs. Some of the historical achievements of GSA: in 1954, we created the first federal motor pool. In 1957, we coined the phrase telecommunications system to describe phone service. And in 1963, we inaugurated the FTS intercity phone system. The Federal Buildings Fund was authorized in 1972 as a revolving fund, which is used to maintain, operate, and renovate the GSA federal buildings. And if we flash forward to 1995, that's when the Office of Government-Wide Policy was formed, and that consolidated all of GSA's policymaking, regulatory, and oversight functions into one office, enabling the GSA business lines to focus on delivering business services.
So, Stan, for some more specifics, how is GSA organized, and can you tell us a little bit about the size of the budget, number of full-time employees, and perhaps how the organization is geographically dispersed across the country?
Sure. We have two major business lines, the Public Building Service and the Federal Acquisition Service. We have 12 staff offices, OGP, Office of Government-Wide Policy, as a staff office. We have 11 regional offices and two independent staff offices. We have an annual budget of close to $25 billion. About 96% of that consists of reimbursements from our federal customers for the services that we provide. We influence the management of over $500 billion in federal assets with the work that we do. We currently have a staff of 12,000 employees. That's down from a high of about 40,000 employees in the 1980s. So we're very lean and efficient. We do contract out a lot of the work that we perform on behalf of the federal agencies. We have GSA employees in most parts of the U.S. and around the world. The Partnership for Public Service recently published their poll on the best places to work in the government, and I'm happy to say and proud to say that GSA finished number 8 on the list of best places to work, and we were number 1 in the category of family-friendly culture and benefits.
So thanks for that overview. Can you tell us a little bit more now about the Office of Government-Wide Policy and your specific role as the Acting Associate Administrator?
Sure. The Office of Government-Wide Policy has always been led since 1995 by two senior executives, a leader of the organization and a deputy. In my real job, I'm the deputy. I'm called the Principal Deputy Associate Administrator, or as I like to call it, PDA Square. Right now, during this transition, I am the Acting Associate Administrator, or the leader of the office. Prior to becoming the deputy, which I did in May of 2006, I was one of the senior executives of one of the staff offices, and that was the Real Property Policy Office, and then came to be the deputy of OGP, as I said, in 2006. As the leader or the deputy, I'm responsible for leadership of the organization, for the allocation of resources according to priorities, and for overseeing our performance management system to make sure we're working on the right things and getting them done efficiently. We have multiple stakeholders in the Office of Government-Wide Policy that we deal with, a lot of them at the Office of Management and Budget, at different offices of the Office of Management and Budget, stakeholders on the Hill, other senior leaders in GSA, other parts of the government. I could give you a lot of flowery words about what I do and what my role is as far as leadership, but basically I spend 90% of my day doing what I would call relationship management.
So every position comes with its challenges. Can you tell us your top three and what you're doing to address them?
Sure. One challenge, and I think everybody will say this, is resources. The Office of Government-Wide Policy is actually a good-sized organization. We have 144 federal employees and approximately 48 contract employees and an annual budget of $71.8 million. So we're not real small, but we're not real big. So we can get a lot of things done, and we want to get a lot of things done. So there are never enough resources to accomplish everything that we feel we need to do. Another challenge that we face, and again, I think you'll hear this across the federal government, is the aging workforce and the wave of retirements. And we are trying to address that in several ways. We are hiring more interns these days and trying to hire them before people leave so they can learn from senior people, taking advantage of a program called Presidential Management Interns. We've had good success with that. And one thing we're doing is using some of the new Web 2.0 technologies, we're establishing a wiki to capture the history of OGP and the policies and procedures internal to our own office. So it'll be the OGPpedia. But actually, many other federal agencies are doing this, including the Department of Defense. Finally, kind of an ongoing challenge of our office is that we do have a government-wide scope, but we are part of GSA. So we support GSA, we support the business lines, but we also, we work for the whole government. And, other federal agencies have their own federal buildings and their own procurement programs, and we have to provide policy and guidance and award best practices across the government and not always, pull for the home team.
So, Stan, I understand that you came to GSA back in 1991. Can you tell me a little bit about your career path? And I'm interested, how did you get started in public service?
Sure. I was working in the private sector in New York City. I was working in the Wall Street commodities business for, I think, close to 10 years and wanted to make a career change and was interested in public service. And I was hired by the GSA Public Building Service in the New York region in 1991 with virtually no experience in real estate, just based on my qualifications and education. They were willing to take a chance on me and train me in the business. Despite that, I was ungrateful enough to move to the central office after about 7 months in the regional office, for which the senior leader of that office, I think, never forgave me, but he's retired now. He actually retired, went to the private sector, and retired again, so I'm double safe. But I moved to the central office because I wanted to know how the government works, and I figured you have to go to Washington, D.C. to find that out. And God help me, I found out how the government works. In 1997, I joined the Office of Government-Wide Policy, which was formed in late 95, so I've been there for most of the history of the office. And in 2004, I joined the Senior Executive Service. So I joined GSA in 1991 as a GS-7, and in 13 years was promoted up the ranks to the Senior Executive Service. So that's pretty rapid, by most terms, a pretty rapid ascent, which I'm pleased with. And then, as I said, in 06, I became the deputy of OGP, and here we are in 09, and I had the privilege of acting as the leader of the office during the transition.
That's fantastic. So, Stan, as you sort of look back and reflect on your experiences going back to 1991, and even your experiences back in the private sector, how have they shaped and informed your current leadership role and shaped your management approach and style?
I think the diversity of my background in terms of my work experience and my education is a plus. I do have experience in both the public and private sectors. There are different ways of doing business in both those areas. When you come into the government from the private sector, you learn right away there's a different way to get things done. You have to slow down and work more collaboratively with people. I have a degree in psychology and a degree in economics, so the economics gives me a good analytical focus, and psychology helps me to understand people and do that relationship management. Most of my early experience has been in the real estate part of GSA, but then coming over to government-wide policy, first as a member of the team and then as a member of the leadership team, I became educated in the IT side of the business and all the other programs that OGP is responsible for. I give a lot of credit to the previous leadership of OGP. They had consistent leadership in Marty Wagner and John Sindelar, who led the office from its inception through early 2006. It's rare to have the same leadership team in place in any agency or office that length of time, and they put in a really good culture and management structure, which I basically took over and kept running with my own spin on it. So I give them a lot of credit. But I think the diversity of background is good in two ways. It's good to know a lot of programs and a lot of businesses because it helps you manage a diverse organization like OGP. But it also helps to because it teaches you that no matter how different the mission or the business is, that a lot of the issues with people and teamwork and managing people tend to be the same. So it helps you elicit the core issues, the common denominators of dealing with people and getting things done.
That's great. How does GSA's Office of Government-Wide Policy enhance transparency in open government? We will ask Stan Kaczmarzyk, Acting Associate Administrator for the Office of Government-Wide Policy at GSA, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.